In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlal 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my dear listeners on Oman FM. This is Maya Al Saeed. Another day, another story inshallah, another guest I have with me in the studio. And I welcome my brother, not really my brother in Islam, Talal Al-Kindi. Salam alaikum, Talal.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I am really excited to have Talal with me in the studio because, as most of you know, most of the ones that come to the studio are mainly female. I had a couple of males, so this year I feel I had more brothers coming than, compared to last year. So I'm really excited to get more brothers to share their story with the Quran. So Talal is, what did you tell me your background is?
My professional background?
Yes.
My background is engineering, and then I've entered into real estate development
Mashallah.
And investment.
MashaAllah. And Talal is also married. We have his wife here with us. She's here for moral support, but she's not going to join us on the conversation, which is a shame, but she's here with us. And I want to remind you before we start with my guest that this is a live show. You can call us on 2460-2058, 2460-2058. And if you do call and do participate, inshallah, you might be one of the winners to win the Noble Quran, which I am giving away for free as a token of appreciation for you being part of the show. So call, speak to our guest, speak to me, whatever you feel like saying, and inshallah you'll be in the chance to win a copy of the Noble Quran. So Talal, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I want to know how your relationship with the Quran, how did it change? Because many people, I don't know if you're like me, but many of us when we started, it was just, we just read and the heart was not present. So, and for me, when I didn't have somebody guiding me from the time I was young, because many of my guests say, my mother or my father was always there to help me at the beginning, but I don't know if you share that with them or you're just like me that no, it wasn't the case. So I'm interested to know.
How far back should I go?
As far back as you want.
Okay, so my relationship with the Quran, you could say, is a usual relationship that you would find amongst youth in Oman. I come from a background that's slightly bilingual.
Okay.
In terms of my family, some of the members of the family speak English. Some of them speak Arabic as, I would say, a first language. I spent a lot of time abroad. I studied in the United States for a couple of years, around when I was 10 years old. And I studied in the UK for my undergrad and master's.
MashaAllah.
So the relationship I had with the Quran, if you were to ask me, did I have the appropriate relationship with the Quran, I would say no. I had the usual relationship, which is, like parents encourage you to read the Quran, enroll you in Quran schools. I had, like, for example, a Quran teacher in the US that would come to my house to teach me. But that's not really what I see now as the true
purpose
of the Quran in our lives.
SubhanAllah. So it is kind of similar. I think many of us, we start off this way, but then something happens and we usually don't expect it. But when it does happen, and then you realize the purpose of it happening is for you to get closer to the Quran. So what happened, yani what changed in your life that made you realize, okay, the purpose of the Quran?
To be completely honest, a lot of people ask me this question, and I don't have anything specific, like a specific incident or a specific thing that made me fall to reading the Quran from nothing. But I would say that seeing the people around me and my overall interest in the religion, even as a teenager, I used to spend a lot of time watching Hyde Park debates, even in my university years. So I always had a passion of learning about the religion.
Mashallah.
But there is a key factor that kind of always held me back in terms of reading the Quran, which is the language barrier. So I would avoid it because I couldn't read properly.
You couldn't read the Quran properly.
I could read it like most people. But it wasn't enjoyable to read. I wasn't, I would struggle to read. Like, I would read one page very slowly and then two pages very slowly. And then I would be like, you know, it's too difficult.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, and I've noticed that a lot of people struggle with this. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to share my story, is because later in life, when I was older, I had to relearn everything. I had to put in a lot more effort than what I would have put in my younger years to learn the tajweed, learn the way of reciting the Quran properly. So now I'm obviously in my journey. I didn't reach perfection.
Believe me, we'll always be. Yeah. Yani, no matter where we are in our lives, I don't think there's ever a point someone can come and say, khalas, I've learned everything there is to learn about the Quran. I'm done. Especially with the Quran, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially so in terms of recitation, I meant.
But no, I feel Quran is always teaching us, and we will always learn in terms of tajweed, in terms of recitation, in terms of tadabbur, and all of that. I feel we will always be a student of the Quran until the day we die.
Of course.
Okay, so sorry I interrupted you. I like to do that, but I'll try not to.
No, that's good. It gives me a chance to breathe. I forget to breathe sometimes when I'm talking.
Okay, so you were saying, so that was one of the main challenges that you found is يعني, connecting to the Quran because of the language barrier. So you had to relearn everything. And I can only imagine how hard it was.
Yeah, it was definitely hard. It's not only hard in terms of learning. It's hard. It can be embarrassing. Like a lot of older people, especially when they reach like an older age, not like I'm in my late 20s.
Mashallah.
They reach the stage where they're embarrassed to actually learn. And this is sad because the Quran is not only for children to learn.
Yes.
It should be something that we continuously learn throughout our lives.
And when it comes to the Quran, I feel there is no age, as long as you're alive, يعني Allah has still given you life, you should always يعني, be open and be humble enough to learn the Quran. Because يعني, we don't know when we're going to go. And I mentioned this yesterday. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am no longer alive and I'm to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll feel so ashamed. I'm in my 40s and I'm still literally at the beginning of my journey when it comes to Quran. So if somebody has reached 90, 80, 70, and we've seen these in some of the, on social media, I've seen some accounts where a lady who was 70, 80, mashallah, she started learning the Quran, she got her ijazah. So when it comes to Quran and learning in general, there is no limit.
Yeah, we can take the Prophet as an example, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He started receiving revelation at the age of approximately 40.
Yes.
And the revelation stopped approximately 23 years after. So it's not necessarily that only at a young age you can memorize the Quran or learn the Quran.
But it's a good base for parents to give their children. يعني, all of us should have this base. It's like a default. And some of us, now, you know, some of them just put them all so they can better their Arabic. يعني, they using the Quran to better the children's Arabic instead of using the Quran as a base of Islamic values, Islamic character, Islamic knowledge. Into Muslim, يعني, you're a Muslim, so you should know the Quran, how to read, how to recite properly, not عشان for the Arabic part of it.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Like, there's a narration about the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she used to describe the Prophet as a walking Quran, as his manners are the Quran.
Yes.
This is another reason that kind of pushed me to learn the Quran at a later age, is that I was noticing that what we're reading is not what I'm seeing. There is a gap.
Yes.
And we're always encouraged to read, but there is not much encouragement on implementation of what we read, or to ponder upon the meanings of what we read.
To ponder and allow for us to implement. Because as you said, it's not reading only, it's reading and implementation. That's why the Quran was sent down.
An ayah comes to my mind in this topic from Surah Sad, ayah number 29.
Okay.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكروا أولو الألباب.
So I'm going to read the translation to that. Surah Sad, right? Ayah 29.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a moment. So it is... This is a blessed book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, that they might reflect upon its verses and that those of understanding would be reminded. Very true, subhanAllah. And if we changed our mindset and the way we thought of the Quran, يعني, and really realized that this is a book for us to know how to live this life, I think a lot of our lives would change if we took the Quran that way.
Yeah, and another thing that really interested me when it came to this topic is, as I told you earlier, I used to watch a lot of videos of Hyde Park debates and...
Do they still do those?
Yeah. It's I think every Sunday they meet in Hyde Park.
MashaAllah, he knows even the dates.
Yeah, I've never actually been there, which is sad because I was in the UK for about 6 years. I've never actually been there in person. But I think that really, the question is, why was I always watching those videos first?
Okay.
It's because they're in English.
Yes.
So I had a language barrier, and to avoid going out of my comfort zone, I would watch videos that are in English. So I think that really struck me is a lot of the converts, the new, or reverts, you call them?
Revert.
Yeah, reverts into Islam. They would have a different... perception of the Quran, a different attitude towards it. They would have an eagerness to implement everything they read.
Yes,
this is something that I feel like we as Muslims neglect. The ones that are born Muslim, we don't really appreciate the Quran as much as someone who's coming from that background.
Again, I shared this. I'm always, mashallah, amazed and at how obedient is the word, I would say, to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the reverts, because they've lived a life that was very different. And to change that life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change their, for women, the way they dress, their character, their way of life is so beautiful to see, because it's not really... not for anyone else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that reminds me of the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, the end of the ayah 285. So the end part is A'udhu Shaitan Rajeem. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And that translates to, and they say, we hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, O Lord, and to you is the final destination. So when I think of the reverts, I always remember this. They hear it, they understand it, and they just obey.
Yeah, and another instruction in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ.
What number is this?
I think it's on page 31 in the end.
Ayah, do you remember the ayah?
It's in the end of page 31. The page starts with وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ.
Okay, I have to look for it now. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ. Okay, if you know me by now, you know that I have an app. ما يطلع لي. It's not coming up for me. Is it in... It's okay. So what does it... Do you know? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Okay, I got it. So it's in the end of the page. What's the name of the ayah that you recited again?
يا أيها الذين آمنوا دخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
This is verse 208. All you who have believed, enter into Islam completely and perfectly, and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. Subhanallah. Yes, he is. And the more we are aware of this enemy, the more we feel that he's there. Because some people don't realize the little things that come up when you want to start obeying Allah. That's shaitan, and that's as well the nafs stopping you from doing what you're supposed to do. Subhanallah. So once you're aware of that, you think, okay, I know what's happening, and you يعني تستعيذ بالله عوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and you do what you had intended to do in the beginning. With that, we'll take a short break and be right back, inshallah. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome to Love Your Life on Oman FM. This is Maya El Saeed. With me in the studio is Talal and Kindi, and we are talking about his journey, his struggles at the beginning. I think like many, many of us, subhanAllah, we struggle to connect with the Quran, even though we have a good base, even though we go to Quran school and all of that. But it's the heart, subhanAllah, is just not present, not connecting to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to remind you before I start talking to Talal and finding more about him, is that this is a live show and you're more than welcome to call us and share with us. If you have your story, you want to share that, that's similar to Talal's, you're more than welcome to do so by calling 24602058, 24602058. And if you, for example, are wondering, oh, I really love this show, I wonder where can I listen more? Well, we are available on all podcasting platforms. All you have to do is type Love Your Life, my name, or Oman FM. You should get us, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So Talal, what do you think of what I said? That the heart is not present. Is that something that resonates with you?
I agree entirely. And I would describe it as the heart is covered.
How so?
Well, if we look at the Quran, there is an ayah, if I can just recall it now. It's from Surah Muhammad. It's ayah number 24.
Okay.
أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا.
SubhanAllah. So I'm just getting the translation, and that is, then do they not reflect upon the Quran, or are they locks upon their hearts?
This ayah really struck me. Like, when did it really strike me? I have an Egyptian teacher for Quran. This is something I recommend everybody that wants to really improve their relationship with the Quran, is find someone or find a group of people that meet like weekly, every few days, and really tie yourself with it. Make it part of your life. Don't make the Quran something where you read it in your spare time. Make it something like the gym or like your breakfast.
A routine. Don't make the Quran something, I'll do later, I'll read when I have time. Make time for it in your day, as Talal is saying, schedule it. Because if not, it will never be a priority. If it's a priority, then make it so.
Yeah, so this Quran teacher really struck me, because the way he teaches this Quran is the first about 15 to 20 minutes of the lesson, he just talks to us. So part of his talk is the class is between Maghrib and Isha, which is the sunset prayer to when the sun completely disappears from the horizon, which is about an hour in between the prayers. So the teacher would reflect upon the ayahs that the imam recited in the prayer.
Mashallah.
So what I noticed is a lot of people, including myself, we after 20, 15 minutes, we forgot what the imam even recited. So this really made me focus in the prayer and think, and it kind of opened my eyes to this concept of, are we just listening to the Quran and then it just goes away? That's it? Or is it really making an impact in our lives?
Subhanallah. Very true. And I think, you know, men are lucky in a way, or blessed is the word to say, because you get to go, يعني, you go to the mosque. You are ordered to go 5 times a day. For us, as women, it's not the same. I know it's, subhanAllah, في حكمة رب العالمين, in Allah's wisdom, He knows, He created us, He knows the way our lives, we're mothers, we have to look after the house and all of that. And so He didn't ask us, of us, to go to the mosque like you do. But when you do go, you hear these reminders. You might hear ayahs that you haven't heard in a long time, subhanAllah. And then it focuses you, as you just said, it allows you to reflect, subhanAllah. And then having this teacher, mashallah, may Allah reward him, using those same ayahs to again further go deeper into the ayahs and let it be in your heart.
Yeah, so another ayah that comes to mind, similar to أَفَرَ يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمَا عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, which really explains what is meant by أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, which is كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ.
Is this the ayah after it?
This is ayah in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, ayah number 14.
Al-Mutaffifin, ayah number 14.
Yeah.
Thank you for being patient while I look for the ayah, because I try to make it easier on my guests.
Ramadan is a month of patience.
And the verse is, okay, Al-Mutaffifin, verse number 14. No, rather the stain has covered their hearts of that which they were earning.
So this is an ayah in, I think, it's in the last chapter of the Quran, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's in chapter 30.
So it's something all kids definitely read this, but we didn't really understand what's بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So this is something I learned by trial and error in my life. So as my journey is progressing, I started to change my habits, change what I'm watching, change what I'm listening to, change the topics that I'm listening to. Like, for example, there's a lot of topics like that include, you know, backbiting, swearing. All of these things affect the heart in the end, because the ears and the eyes and the tongue all lead to the heart.
Yes.
There is a saying from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَخْطَأَ خَطِيئَ نَكَتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نَكْتَةً سَوْدَاءَ فَإِنْ هُوَ نَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ وَتَابَ صَقَلَ قَلْبَهُ وَإِنْ زَادَ زِيدَ فِيهَا حَتَّى تَعْلُو قَلْبَهُ وَهُوَ الرَّانَ الَّذِي ذُكَرَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. The meaning of this is that if a person commits a sin, a black dot is placed on his heart. Of course, this is not a physical black dot. This is a metaphysical black dot. This is عالم الغيب. عالم الغيب. And the saying basically continues to say that if this person persists on this, that these black dots will accumulate until they reach a stage which is ran, which is mentioned in the Quran. And this is what causes the heart not to absorb or not to ponder upon the meanings of the Quran, or feel like they want to read the Quran. This is a stage that no one wants to reach to. So the cure for this stage is a simple cure, which is something that we're not taught as kids. So we're always taught, for example, not to lie, not to cheat.
Yeah.
Not to swear. But I mean, what if you lie? What do what then? The part of repentance is not taught enough. This is something that is overlooked, and this is more important, because كل بني آدم خطأ. Everybody sins.
Yes.
It's what you do after.
Very true.
You should speed to repentance. So this is something that I feel is a big contributing factor to people not being able to absorb or ponder upon the meanings of the Quran.
And the act of repentance, I don't think even everyone understands that you can repent or you should repent. And I think, maybe if I don't know how to explain it, but the way I see it, I don't really see people, but then when they do something, they say astaghfirullah. I know this is something, again, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I don't think it's a common thing. I don't remember anyone telling me this when I was growing up.
Yeah, this is something that I wasn't told either. We were always emphasized that you should not lie, you should avoid these acts, you should do this. But, I mean, everybody falls astray sometime. How do you get back? This is the most important thing, because they say the first sin is the hardest sin.
SubhanAllah.
You need to make it hard again, yeah. Basically, by repenting and fearing Allah and coming back to the straight path. But if that first sin is left unattended, then the second one will be easier, and so on.
SubhanAllah, very true. So you said that when you changed your habits, you changed what you saw, what you heard, what you listened to, well, same as what you heard. So Talal, you're telling me, once you did those changes, you started to see a difference in your heart and accepting the ayahs.
Obviously, this is not something that is black and white. As you know, every time you read the Quran, you see something new.
Yes.
And it's far greater than just the things you do. There is also things like envy, jealousy, things like hatred, the diseases of the heart. Yeah. These require constant
repentance,
constant acts of worship to continually clean the heart. And there's another ayah that explains this. I just need to recall it.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, we can take a... Shall we take... We'll take a break now and then we'll come back and you can tell us the ayah, inshallah. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. This is Maya Al Saeed, connecting your heart, inshaAllah, one ayah at a time, with my brother here in the studio, Talal Al Kindi. We are talking about how the heart, subhanAllah, is a key factor for you to connect to the ayahs. And you were going to recite an ayah before the break.
Yeah, the ayah is from Surah Yunus. Ayah number 215. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين.
So it's actually just a minor correction. It's ayah 57.
57.
Yeah.
Okay.
O mankind, there has come to you instruction from your Lord and healing for what is in the breasts, and guidance and mercy for the believers. SubhanAllah. So you were just saying that the Quran is like a shifa. It's a healing. What's in your chest? I'm assuming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the heart. And wahuda. And what is it? Guidance and mercy for the believers. SubhanAllah. Such a beautiful ayah to reflect on. Okay, so Talal, before I go to you, I want to remind you that please call. Zain, I don't want to be like Abdullah on the first episode that went, call now. No, it really makes a difference. And to know that as well, you're listening. If you'd like to call and speak to Talal or speak to myself or just share your own story, you're more than welcome to do so. This is your show. And you can do so by calling 24602058. So Talal, if I were to ask you, I know you told me there's not an incident or something that happened, but I'm curious, there must have been something, if it was really small, that kind of shook you or made you want to learn more about the Quran or in your Islamic journey.
as a specific incident, I don't have like a specific incident that made me like, which shook me, which is something actually that is good, positive, because you shouldn't want to wait for something like this to happen to return to the Quran. But what really made me like change my ways is like I started questioning, as I mentioned before, like the revert thing. I started questioning like, okay, I'm a Muslim. And everybody is a Muslim. Why are we not implementing what we read? Like, why is it okay? Why has it become something okay for a Muslim to lie, for a Muslim to backbite? And very few people like criticize or talk about these things. So this made me like decide with myself that that's it. I'm a Muslim. I don't do this.
So, and is this when you were still studying, or is this when you came back from your studies? At what point of your life?
This was, you actually remind me of something very important.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. This was, I would say when I first started working.
Okay.
Maybe like about 6 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a key contributing factor. Maybe my friend won't want me to say his name, but I'm just going to say his name. He can get upset. There was a colleague I had in a company I worked for. It was a contracting company, like a construction company. It was my first job. So this colleague was, I would say, far ahead of me in his journey.
MashaAllah.
So, and he has like very good qualities. I'm not going to say his name. He's going to know who he is, but anyways...
You know who you are.
he has very good qualities in terms of patience.
MashaAllah.
So he did not like tell me anything. He just led by example. Years. Like years, he would not tell me like, oh, Talal, you know how people are. Like when you make one small mistake, they jump to it.
They sit you down. Yeah. They give you a lecture. They make you feel really bad.
So he didn't do any of this. He was very patient. So he used to just like, you know, sometimes give hints. Maybe in 1 week he would just tell me one thing. In another week he would, you know, recommend something to me. So this was like a process of almost two and a half years. So in the end, he really opened my eyes to a lot of things. That where people are and what's the actual place to be in terms of the religion. And... this was a big contributing factor, and this is why it's very important to have someone in your life that improves your religion.
And to some people might say, okay, they might argue, I don't have anyone. Everyone around me is, for example, on the path that I am on now, and they're not where... You just said your friend, he was already... way ahead of you, صح? But maybe somebody who doesn't have a person or somebody they know who is a way ahead of them and they want to be like them. I would tell you, because I have a feeling somebody will say, but I don't know anyone. I would tell you, make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, I want to be on the righteous path. Please send me people who can guide me to be on that path with you. Wallahi.
Ah, you made me want to... Now I want to disclose something else.
I should keep talking. Yani, make dua again with yaqeen. Certainty. You are asking the Lord of... the Lord of everything that's possible. Insha'Allah. Kun fayakun. But just ask with sincerity. Believe me. It will happen. Don't ask me how. And don't expect... Okay, but how? Don't think about how. Just make dua. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you. What did I remind you of now?
This is actually very interesting. Because I made a similar dua.
Subhanallah.
I made a similar dua recently. Not the person in the contracting company. So, I mean, I have the Quran class. I have some people I like sometimes see. But I don't really have like that person that always encourages me to better myself. So I made a similar dua, and subhanallah, in a matter of like a couple of days, couple of weeks, I have a new neighbor. And I have, and this neighbor, mashallah, he's probably listening. I shouldn't. No, I'm not gonna.
We won't say his name.
Ma bamadha wajid. I'm not gonna.
And this is the same neighbor that I had wanted him to come on my show, and then he recommended you.
Yeah. So I don't know why he recommended me, but he really, really encourages me in a lot of things. So alhamdulillah, yani the du'a istijab, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I should keep talking because every time I talk, Talal remembers another story. But anyway, I want to remind you that this is a live call and you're more than welcome to call us on 2460258.
But I didn't respond to your point about if someone doesn't have anybody. Mm-hmm. Of course, dua. But if you're constantly mixing with people who are like, either pulling you back or not encouraging you, then you're mixing with the wrong people.
Yeah, but what if they have no one else? This is their friends. You know, you have your group of friends and they're all together and they're their friends. They won't leave them but they don't have anyone else to guide them to the other path. I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you in a... We're having a discussion.
Yeah. It's difficult and people need to understand that when you're like... following the path of the prophets, it's not easy. Like I don't recall any prophet who had an easy prophethood. Like he came and told the people, oh, come become Muslim, follow this, follow that, and everybody was like, yeah, hooray, and
let's do this.
I don't recall of any story like that. So people need to accept that it is going to be difficult, but that this is the truth and I'm going to follow it.
But I think, you know, one thing that they can do is what you said earlier about changing your habits. Change what you listen to instead of listening to things that don't benefit you. Listen to things that teach you about your religion, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his seerah, about the Quran. There's so many things that you could listen to that benefits you and your spiritual journey. What else can I say? Change the way, for example, you deal with people. Stop lying if you lie. So many things that you can do to change your character, subhanAllah. So if you don't have that, in Arabic it's called a sahba saliha, like a friend, a pious friend that can guide you and help you on that journey. Start with yourself and do these changes.
Of course, I agree. Like what you're exposed to is... a really big factor in how easy it's going to be for you.
And on the topic of change, because this is about change, you're changing who you are, you have to realize that this change is going to take, it might take a long time. And one thing that we all have to learn is to be patient and know that there are going to be some days where you're going to feel the best and there are going to be some days where you're going to feel the worst. But the most important thing is that you are constant in your relationship with Allah. No matter what happens, don't stop praying. You know, don't feel, because the shaitan might come and say, oh, you know what, you did this now, how can you go and pray? Allah will not forgive you. And any something of that similar thought, don't pay any attention. Know that Allah is Rahim. He's the merciful. He wants you to come back. And he knows that you are going to make mistakes. And as Talal mentioned in the beginning, we have to repent. Repent and go back to Allah. You make a mistake, repent and go back to Allah. It's never, it's not like a peak. You know, like you start off zero and then you just go up. It's up, down, up, down. It's a constant change. But as long as you're constant with your relationship with Allah.
Of course. And this reminded me of one of the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the companions, this really reflects on how the companions of the Prophet used to monitor the state of their heart. So I think his name is Handala. Handala was going to complain to the Prophet and he was accusing himself of being a hypocrite. So why was he accusing himself of being a hypocrite? Because he was stating to the Prophet that when he's with the Prophet, he would feel a certain level of iman. And the Prophet is his, you could say, his friend, his companion. So when he's with his family, when he's away from the Prophet, his level of iman would decrease. So he was basically accusing himself of being a hypocrite, which is not true. But this is how the Muslim should be. He should be always constantly monitoring the state of his heart. Am I with people that are making my iman high? How do I feel when I'm reading the Quran? How do I feel when I'm with these people? Am I forgetting? Am I sinning more? So this is something that everybody has to really constantly monitor and clean. Monitor and clean.
I think just by listening, it's one of those things, you know, Talal, I feel it's easier said than done. Because in order to really have this connection, you first have to know your why, your purpose. Because changing is so hard, and many people don't want to change because it's comfortable here. I'm happy doing this. It's easy. Change is hard. But if you remind yourself, who are you changing for and why are you changing? Then I feel it makes it a bit easier because you have a goal, you have a focus, you have a guide, the Quran, you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his seerah to really teach you on how you should act in all aspects of your life. For Allah has created you, but he has not left you astray. He has provided everything for you and for us. We just have to make that constant decision, that choice, to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In terms of like an advice, how I see that someone could start is just link yourself with a certain routine. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be a lot. You could, for example, now is the right time. We're in Ramadan. Ramadan is the time for change, for reflecting. You could say that I'm going to read half a page, one page of Quran every day to take you 1 minute. And just stick to it. And stick to it and put a reminder for yourself that no matter what, this is my daily routine. I have to read one page of Quran.
And for those, Talal, that you said, you know, at the beginning you had that challenge about understanding the Quran because of the language barrier. What advice do you have for those who are in your similar situation?
Well, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't have it like fully in my memory, but I'm paraphrasing, which is basically that for the person who struggles to read the Quran, he has two good deeds. For his struggle and for his recitation, it's a struggle, but it will go. It will definitely go, but you just have to put in slight effort. And once you start reciting the Quran properly, you will not want to let it go.
Mm. It's one of those things you reminded me of my guest yesterday. When you start, you say, I want more. I want more. It's never enough. And now she's on her path to memorizing the Quran and getting her ijazah, mashallah. Hanisa was my guest yesterday. We will just take a short break and be right back, inshallah. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Love Your Life. This is Maya Al Saeed, connecting your heart, inshallah, with my guest, بإذن الله تعالى, one ayah at a time. I was going to say one heart at a time. Well, that could do as well. But inshallah, we are nearly the end of our episode. So if you really want to call in, this is your chance. You want to speak to Talal, you share a similar journey, you want to reflect with us, you want to, whatever it is, you're more than welcome to do so by calling 24602058, 24602058. If you want to listen to the show again, you can do so as well, because we are on all podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we are there. Inshallah, you can listen to this episode and all our previous episodes as well. So Talal, you wanted to talk about the beginning on about the Quran, how you learned it. You said you wanted to share something.
Yeah, so this is just I would say an example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way for you if you just show the intention. Like once I was sitting with my family and my extended family, and I said that, oh, I want to learn tajweed. I didn't know any tajweed teachers. I didn't know anybody who taught tajweed. And just one of my uncles was like, I'll teach you. And he was really good at tajweed. He's actually my first teacher. And I didn't know this. So it's sometimes you just need to make the intention and it will happen. And these days we have Zoom and all these online platforms. You could easily find a teacher that could, teach you, and you're on your way back from work, when you're at home. The means are a lot easier now.
We live in a time now where I feel we have no excuse. Yani, the only excuse you have is yourself. You can't say, well, one of the things you can say, I don't have time, then it means it's not a priority for you, unfortunately. But apart from that, all the resources are available, as Talal said, online, in the library, on bookshops, anything you want, on YouTube, anything, anywhere, it's there. You just have to make the intention. There's a story I want to share, yani, about myself, because you reminded me of it. Now it's your turn. You remind me of something. When I was younger, very, very young, my mother, most of you know, is Christian. So she's, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used her in my life. Although she was Christian, she's the one that gave me my first copy of the Quran. It's not like my aunt or my dad. No, it was my Christian mother who gave me, because I didn't have one. So she gave me that first copy, and I have it to this day. So even though she's not a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used her for me. Yani, subhanAllah. So never think that you're alone and Allah doesn't know your intentions or doesn't know your struggle. Even for me as a young girl of 8, 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used my mother for me. Alhamdulillah, I'm so blessed for that. Any last words? Do you have something to share, or we can do the ayah for you?
Basic, what ayah?
Okay, let's finish what you have to say.
Okay, basically, my last advice, which is the most important advice, that whatever you learn, implement it and share it with your family members, with your friends, because that is the purpose of the Quran, is to be implemented and shared. As we have ayah in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 192 to 194, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ. So the meaning of this is that the Quran, I'm paraphrasing this, I don't have the translation here, but the Quran was, the entire meaning of the three ayahs, the Quran was revealed to Muhammad through angel Gabriel on his heart, on the Prophet's heart, for him to be a warner. Not for him to recite it 3 times or 4 times in Ramadan, for him to implement it and warn it to others.
Barakallah fiqh. Such a beautiful reminder. Now, what I tend to do with my guests, because Talal, if you can see Talal, he's looking at me, looking at what is she going to do now? Because I didn't tell him this part. Huh? And I think Talal is that guy that likes to plan. So this is way out of his plan now.
Stressful.
Maybe we have a call. I can see Ahmed on the... No. Okay. So these are my Ma'al Quran, Kurut al-Quran. So each pack, or each card has an ayah. So I just want you to pick randomly and see what ayah comes out for you. We read it and then I'll translate it. Very simple. Okay.
قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين.
Okay, so let me...
I think this is from Surah Maryam.
I think so too. But let me... I want to read the translation. Does it say what ayah it is there?
No.
Let me see. I'm trying to find the translation. Do you feel that this ayah, I think it sums up again, Shrey, what we were talking about today.
Yeah.
How do you feel it speaks to you?
I mean, it pretty much sums up the entire journey.
Because, wait, we have to say the translation. Can you talk about it without the translation, how you understand it?
I think the context is important, if we can get the context. But basically, this ayah is saying that...
I got the ayah. So this is in Surah Maryam, verse 9, and it says, an angel said, thus it will be, your Lord says, it's easy for me, for I created you. Sahla?
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ تَكُوْ شَيْئَتُكَ.
No, this is the one, this is the wrong one then. But I saw Surah Maryam. Can't find the ayah. قَالَ كَذَلْكَ قَالَ رَبُّكَ هُوَ عَلَيْهِ هَيِّن. Okay, it is number 9. The beginning of the ayah, an angel said, thus it will be, your Lord says, it is easy for me, I created you. No. This is the beginning, shuf, bidayat al-ayah, the beginning of the ayah is that.
Yeah. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكَ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ تَكُ شَيْئًا.
Yes.
Basically that...
That Allah says, it's easy for me.
And He has created you before and you are nothing.
Yeah. So meaning that... It's easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He created us from nothing. Anything is possible.
Anything else is easy, yeah.
Anyway, subhanAllah. Huh. So, and subhanAllah, you mentioned at the beginning how hard it was for you as a struggle to understand and connect to the Quran because of the language barrier, and then your journey kind of started from there, and then you get this ayah.
SubhanAllah.
It always happens, huh? There's always... around a circular moment, yani, alhamdulillah, with my guests when, and this was picked randomly, subhanAllah. It's not I choose, okay, he picked a card, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so that He picks this card. Subhanallah. And this is what I love about the Quran. When you read it, it always gives you what you need. There's always something you learn. And I, you don't get this. I was saying the other day, you don't get this in any other book.
Definitely. I mean, just an example, like a quick example. That day, the Imam was reciting something that I always recite.
Mm.
And for the first time, I understood the meaning.
Subhanallah.
It's strange. Like every time you read the Quran, something new comes to you. And if another person reads the same thing, maybe something else will come to him from the meanings. And this is really incredible. Like even if you look at when the Quran was revealed until now, it's suitable for all times.
And what's even more beautiful is the Quran. Every person's journey with the Quran is different. And every impact on the Quran, on people's hearts, are different. Yani, as you kept saying, we're all Muslims, but some of us read and don't ponder. Some of us, yani, we all have different levels with and relationships with the Quran. But as long as our relationship with the Quran and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constant, then inshallah we continue to continuously strive towards that. So just to end it, yani, I don't want to put you on the spot. But now, where are you in your Quran journey? Like, what's the goal for you? What's the?
I want to memorize the Quran, but it's I also want to perfect my tajweed more. So I'm doing like a bit of everything. But now I would say the main thing I'm doing in Ramadan now is trying to like tathbeet. What's tathbeet? Like I'm trying to cast my memorization in stone.
Yes, in his heart and mind, bi-idhnillah.
Yeah, because it's easy to memorize, but you have to keep on reciting it and not to forget it, basically.
Yeah, mashallah, some people do even some hours of the day, like they dedicate one whole hour just to go over, depending of how much you've recited of the Quran, one juz, two juz, three juz, so you do that.
Yeah.
Yallah, subhanAllah. May Allah, inshallah, make it easy for you. Jazakallah khair, Talal, for coming and sharing your story. I know it was not easy. I know for many guests who come to speak on air, to be vulnerable, it's not easy, but truly I appreciate and may Allah reward you because He knows your intention. And jazakallah khair for bringing your wife.
Jazakum, shukran.
Your wife along as well, who was a great moral support. More wives should be like this. Support your husbands when they come on the show.
maybe it made it more stressful.
Maskina.
No, she helped me a lot.
Alhamdulillah. Anyway, Jazakum Allah khair. Tomorrow, inshallah, another guest. I have a special guest tomorrow. All my guests are special, but this one is extra special. Rihab Al-Hajj, inshallah, is with me tomorrow. Same time on Oman FM, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.